IT. You're listening to The Light, KLYT Albuquerque Santa Fe. Rebroadcast on KNKT Cannon Air Force Base, K201CC Las Cruces, K228DQ Portales, and worldwide at KLYT.FM. From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect. Your input on today's topic is important to us. Join in the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE, ABQ Connect.
We have planned a great show for you today. Don't miss the second half of the show. We'll catch up with Cape New Mexico. The homeschool convention getting ready to get underway. I believe it's at Legacy Church. We'll have all the details, though, for you in the second half of today's show. And we are in the midst of Pride Month and lots of things showing up on our TV screens and on our phones and elsewhere in the news. And, you know, a question may have occurred to you. How do I navigate this month with my family? And we have someone on the phone with us today from Focus on the Family to help us do that. Jeff Johnston, welcome to ABQ Connect.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me on the broadcast.
For those unfamiliar with Jeff, he is on staff at Focus on the Family. He's an issues analyst there, does writing and teaching on topics like marriage, homosexuality, and gender, equipping Christians to engage the culture. And prior to Focus on the Family, a director of Regeneration, a ministry dedicated to providing resources and support for men and women who experience same-sex attraction for their loved ones and for churches and ministries. Graduated Phi Beta Kappa from San Diego State University, another Mountain West team, so we won't hold that against you, Jeff. but a bachelor's in English, which we're sure you were well equipped at San Diego State University, and teaching credentials. And well, you've been married for 20 years now, and you've got three teenage sons. And I feel you. I've got five and a daughter. So there's you know, Jeff, as we walk through some of the stuff we're going to walk through today, one of the really important parts about this is those kiddos, whether they're, you know, just learning to walk or grown, they're watching.
You're absolutely right. And honestly, I need to update my biography because we're coming up on 30 years of marriage and those teenage boys are now in their 20s.
Oh, there you go.
And they're all, you know, graduating from college and doing all the things launching out in life. But you're right. June is Pride Month, and parents should really know that Pride Month isn't just June anymore. It actually goes year-round now. You can look online and find LGBT Pride events, different cities across the country from January to November. I mean, it really is an all-year-long celebration. And if families are out traveling or they're not sure where Pride is and when Pride is being celebrated, they might want to look at that up online before they take their kids to another city or take them to a downtown area.
Now, Jeff, one of the things I want to maybe start with, since we're, you know, more than once we'll probably mention LGBTQ plus, and I think we make the assumption as we have these conversations that everyone knows what the, I don't know if you'd call it an acronym, but what it stands for. Can you walk our listeners through that for those who maybe some of them are like, finally, thank you, yes, will you please?
Sure. The L stands for lesbian. G stands for gay. B is for bisexual. And those are all what psychologists call sexual orientations. And they deal with who a person is attracted to sexually or romantically. The T stands for transgender, which is an umbrella term that includes all kinds of different identities. And then the Q can either be queer or questioning, somebody who's not sure what their identity is. And the T and the Q and the plus, those are generally what are called gender identities, although I tend to call them sexual identity because I really believe there's only two sexual identities, male and female. But now we're getting to the point where people are making up hundreds of different sexual identities and labeling themselves by these. So that's what the LGBTQ plus stands for. It all has to do with how you feel on the inside, who you're attracted to, how you think about yourself, and then how you behave sexually or romantically.
Now, you said something very critical, I think, in that last statement. It's about feeling and not so much science?
Yeah, absolutely. We even think we know that sexual orientation is settled science, and it isn't really. When researchers try to research homosexuality in a culture, they look at all kinds of things, how a person identifies, how they feel, their plans, their desires, and their activities. And those things don't always overlap for people. So there's not even a settled scientific definition of sexual orientation. These are just terms that have been created to talk about how people experience life. And most of it has to do with internal thoughts and feelings. And they're actually terms that have developed over the last 100 years or so. They're pretty recent. In Scripture talks about lust, and it talks about sexual activity. And certain things are within God's design, marriage between a husband and wife. Certain things are outside of that. So for Scripture, it's really simple. It has to do with lust and behavior. But it's become more complicated, and psychologists try to study this, but there is no real settled agreement on sexual orientation or gender identity.
Well, Jeff, you bring up a good point. You say the Bible makes it clear, but the Bible isn't everyone's standard. And as we engage in this culture, how can you maybe better equip us or prepare us to be engaged with those that don't hold the Bible as their standard?
Well, I don't know that we're going to persuade people who are on the other side. I think we pray for God to open their eyes, first of all. But when we do talk to people, and especially if you're talking to your kids, you want to talk about how God designed us male and female. And our bodies are either male or female. There's boys and girls. You want to give your kids a foundation in that biology is settled. There's two sexes, male and female. Humans are sexually dimorphic. And you can even teach some of these concepts to little kids. And we know that's the real science, that we know that we have these bodies, and they're made for a purpose. And, of course, as believers, we believe we're made in the image of God and that he loves us and wants to redeem us. And we can communicate that message of God's love and compassion, even for people caught up in homosexuality or transgenderism.
Yeah, you know, I was having a discussion even today with someone and just reminding each other that, you know, as we engage, how important it is to, well, maybe try to remember where you were before the Spirit removed the veil and you saw the truth. And, you know, you can talk yourself blue in the face with someone, whether it's about the LGBTQ various issues that and policies that are coming, you know, becoming law in our states. And I guess it's important that we try to realize who it is we're talking to, and that, like I said, you can talk till you're blue in the face, but if the Spirit doesn't move in that person's life, really all you can do is share the truth in love, in a peaceful way, in a kind way, and let the Spirit do the work.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. Christians should respond to individuals, first of all, with love and compassion. And then as a relationship develops, you can share more and more the truth, share your own experience of coming to the Lord and the changes God has brought about in your life. It takes courage, and we have to be wise in how we do this. Now, you also mentioned the public policy issues, and that's a little bit different. I think when we're dealing in the public arena, we want to deal with things with leading with truth first. And also having compassion for people. I mean, people can tell if you have contempt for a certain group of people. So we want to have love in our hearts, but we want to lead with truth. And the truth is, this agenda of sexual orientation, gender identity, is being pushed and celebrated from every area of life, you know, entertainment, the arts, the news, education. It's all around. And so it is up to Christian parents to equip their children with the truth so that they can stand against this.
Well, if you just tuned in, we're visiting with Jeff Johnson. He's an issues analyst for Focus on the Family, and we've talked some about walking our families, our kids, through discussions about the month that we're in, Pride Month, that is possibly something they're hearing about at school or seeing on TV or in commercials or at the store or what have you. And we hope that the information provided here is equipping for you as we walk through this month. And as I said at the top of the show, and you know, I think Jeff, it's easy to say, and you already said it, any month of the year, if you look hard enough, you'll find that someone is celebrating a Pride event. But we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to visit more with Jeff and get better equipped. We'll do that after this on ABQ Connect.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect. There's still time to join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE. ABQ Connect.
We're in the midst of a conversation with Jeff Johnston, an issues analyst at Focus on the Family. Jeff has been writing and teaching on topics like marriage, homosexuality, and gender, and equipping Christians to engage the culture. And that's part of what we're hoping to do today. Jeff, for those, including myself, not very familiar with you and your ministry, can you kind of give us a background of what brought you to the areas of study or writing that you're doing now for Focus on the Family?
Sure, happy to do that. I grew up in a Christian home in Southern California, grew up in San Diego, accepted the Lord at a very young age, was, as a teenager and in my 20s, was really struggling with my sexuality. I was attracted to men, and I had no idea what to do with those feelings. And wasn't until I was 25 that I went to a conference called Hope and Healing for the Homosexual. And for the first time, I heard somebody who talked about leaving homosexuality. He'd been caught up in homosexual behavior, and he had left it. And he also talked about some of the risk factors or influencing factors that might influence somebody that direction. And for me, a lot of those rang true. Some of my earliest memories were of being involved in sexual play with other young boys. And as a result, I think I got a skewed view of sexuality. That's very confusing for young people. But I also withdrew from boys, and I didn't really connect with my same-sex peer group, which is pretty important for kids growing up. And then I had a strained relationship with my father, and I tended to overconnect with women. And once I heard that there might be some reasons why I was struggling, I began to seek help. I found a Christian counselor. I started going to conferences. Started learning about healing prayer and how God moves to bring healing in our lives, reading books on the topic. And this wasn't all smooth sailing. My late 20s, I got involved in relationships with other men, and I finally had to come to a decision. Am I going to identify as gay and, you know, find a relationship with a man and live that way? Or am I going to follow Christ? Because I knew that that homosexuality was at odds with God's good design for marriage and sexuality. And I chose to follow Jesus. And it was actually men and women in the church who gathered around me and loved me and accepted me and prayed for me. That was a huge part of my healing when I made that return to the Lord. And then along the way, I met a cute gal, was attracted to her, and we got married almost 30 years ago and have three sons. Now, you know, that doesn't mean I've done a total 180 from same-sex attracted to opposite-sex attractions, but I do know that my attractions have changed a lot. My feelings have changed a lot. And God moved in a lot of areas of my life. My view of Him was skewed, and He changed that. My relationships, my identity, He moves to bring healing to every part of our lives. And that's a part of the work God's done for me. So for years, I was involved in different ministries to people leaving homosexuality, and then got hired by Focus on the Family to tell my story and also to create resources for parents and families on these issues. And now I write for the Daily Citizen. And you mentioned equipping earlier. I want to point people towards some resources that will help equip them. If you go to the dailycitizen.org, and that's Focus's culture and policy outlet, right at the top of the page, there's some parenting resources. And so one of them is LGBT pride. Another one's on homosexuality. Another one's on marriage. How do I talk to my children and teach them God's good design for marriage? So got some great resources at thedailycitizen.org.
Very good. You know, I was taking notes as I was listening to you, and some things that came up, and I'd like to actually, well, first of all, thank you for the resource information. We'll give that a few times, dailycitizen.org. You want to make sure to write that down, put it in your notes on your phone or what have you, so you have that resource, a great resource from Focus on the Family. Jeff, let's talk to maybe someone who's listening today, who is walking through some of the same feelings and issues and struggles that you had as a young man. Talk to that person, man, and we're talking to men or women, let's talk to the family and support group around them. I do want to mention this, the notes that I took, really important. You said love, accept, and pray. I think what a great model for healing.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I do believe that God is a healer, that he loves us. There's a lot in Scripture about God healing us. And so for somebody who's caught up in either, it could be pornography or sexual addiction or homosexuality, all of those things I struggled with, it was not an easy road, but I decided that following Jesus was better and more worthwhile than doing, you know, my own thing with my sexuality and my broken sexuality. And I wanted a relationship with God, and so I had to pursue that. And some of that was that I had a skewed image of him, as I said earlier, and he began to heal that, and a lot of that healing came through people. Homosexuality is really a relational issue, and so it's broken relationships, but it's also healed through relationships. And I find that most people in the church, they love people, they want to do the right thing, and I think most churches, we don't have to hammer somebody with the truth all the time, but bringing love and acceptance to somebody who's struggling, who's wanting to do the right thing, that's really, really important. One of the other things I want to mention is that I think it's important not to label somebody as, you know, the whole LGBT movement is about those labels, lesbian, gays, transgender, whatever, gender non-binary, and parents and friends and family. You don't have to see the person as that label. You just see them as somebody who's a male or a female, a man or a woman, made in the image of God that God loves deeply. You don't have to view them through that skewed sexuality. And I encourage strugglers, too, not to take on those labels. Starting to see more and more of that in the church, even, where somebody might identify as a gay Christian. And I don't think we need to put anything before the word Christian. We're followers of Jesus. That's who we are. We're not defined by our broken sexuality.
Right. We're defined by our relationship with Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Yeah, very good. I think that's important. You know, one of the other things I want to do real quick, since we mentioned Daily Citizen, as we were talking, I went there. It's dailycitizen.focusonthefamily.com. What we were giving it, Daily Citizen, I think we said .org. I'll try dailycitizen.com too, though. But we want to make sure those resources are available for families or for people that have questions about some of the things that we've already been talking about. Jeff, the culture that we're in, we're seeing things happen in schools that are promoting LGBT well, not it's LGBTQ plus, and even here in New Mexico, I don't know how acquainted you are with the referendum that's happening now. There were laws passed in our legislature in the roundhouse that the grassroots effort is being made to get these laws that have been passed onto the ballot, where the citizens can vote and tell our legislator you weren't representing us necessarily. This isn't what we want. How would you encourage not just Christians, but the community in general to, as far as their involvement? You know, when someone the conversation often comes up, and you'll hear a Christian or a person say, you know what, I'm done with politics. Yeah, I'm not interested, and just not involved. What insight might you have on that?
Well, I hear that all the time too. People say, we're glad you do what you're doing. And you know, the reality is, you might not care about politics, but politics cares about you, and the culture cares about you and your family. And these things are affecting this generation of children. And so we become active not just for ourselves, but because we care about people and we care about what's happening to children. And as you mentioned, sexual orientation and transgenderism are being talked about in schools, sometimes to children as young as five. And that's completely inappropriate. It confuses and sexualizes children. And we want to make a stand against that. And we want to do that, again, not out of contempt or anger. Well, you can get angry, but not out of contempt or hatred, but really because we love people and we care about people and we want God's best for them.
And I want to touch on something you said. Well, you can get angry. You know, righteous indignation, anger, and do not sin.
Exactly. And, you know, your kids especially, they're watching you. And they might know that you're angry. You could tell them, I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at what's happening in the world around. And I'm angry because I care. But they can tell as well as if you have contempt or hatred for somebody. So I know I've had to ask God many, many times to change my heart towards people and to give me his love and his compassion for people. Because I don't have that on my own.
Yeah.
I only have that through the Lord.
And, you know, as a Christian, I don't often like to refer back to experience. I very much prefer to go to the Word of God and practice this. Practice makes permanent. From experience, I will tell you when there's times where I know what to do that's right, and I don't feel like doing it. Sometimes, Jeff, wouldn't you agree the action comes before the feeling?
Oh, lots of times. And I think I used to tell people that we need to approach this with grace and truth. Now I'm saying we need to approach it with grace, truth, courage, and wisdom.
Mm.
And it's that courage to speak the truth, and there may be a cost. I know people who have lost friends. There's people in the news all the time that have lost jobs. Part of the problem is when sexual orientation and gender identity are codified in non-discrimination laws, that often butts up against religious freedom and free speech and against parental rights. And so we have this conflict going on, and that's really what we're fighting for. We're fighting for children. We're fighting for truth, for religious freedom, free speech, these good things that God has given us. And a lot of times the LGBT issues push against those things. And that's where I think Christians really need to stand up and be counted on these issues. And it's going to take courage and wisdom to do that.
Well, you know, Jeff, we started seeing some of these policies and issues and conversations, show up. You know, I mean, quite honestly, back to biblical times. But, you know, more recently, if we're talking about in our culture here, it was things that would show up on occasion, and it's so much more prevalent now. Have we lost? Is the battle lost? And where do you, I guess I've thought about that community, the LGBTQ community. And I think often the thought is every single person involved with that culture, has a an agenda against us. Is, you know, from what you know and from your studies and experience, you know, is there any truth to that? Or, you know, I think you already mentioned it, if, especially when you take people as individuals, there's people that were going through some of the same struggles you had, and everyone's got a story.
You're right, and people are going to take different approaches to this, whether they're pushing this agenda of sexual orientation and gender identity. They're going to have different approaches. Not everybody is an LGBT activist, even if they identify as gay, lesbian, or transgender. You know, they're not all activists, but there are activists out there, and those are the groups generally that we're fighting against. And we're not really fighting against them. We're fighting against their ideas and the things that they're trying to promote. The difficulty is that because this has become such an entrenched part of identity, if you don't believe somebody, if you don't agree with them, oftentimes now they'll see that as a personal attack,
yeah,
or personal hatred. And Christians just need to be aware that's where the culture is. Because of your views, people are going to think you're a hater and a bigot. But we have to do more to demonstrate with our words and our actions that we're not that. That's not where we're coming from. But it really has become more polarized, especially in the last 5 to 10 years, as the transgender agenda has risen to the top. And we're seeing so much more of that these days than we did 10, 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah, you know, part of what we're talking about right now connects with an interview we did earlier this week. On Tuesday, we visited with Rabbi Kurt Schneider about taking the rainbow back. We mentioned that website at that time, takingtherainbowback.com. And I didn't read this on the air at that time, but I think it's applicable to our conversation. At the bottom of that homepage, it says, "Speaking the truth in love is not hateful, but necessary. Consider the words of the Apostle Paul. So have I become your enemy by telling you the truth?" Galatians 4:16. And I do think that's applicable.
You're right. We have something that the world desperately needs. And a lot of the more recent studies, well, this is going way back, show that people who are struggling with these issues, a lot of times there's other things going on in their lives. Sometimes it's mental health issues. Sometimes it's trauma, family brokenness. And so there is a lot of unhealth in this community. And compassion should drive us to love them and to say there's a better way. And we know the healer, the one that can bring hope and healing and transformation to your life. And that's what Christians are offering. Of course, you know, we all have to experience that before we can offer it up to somebody else. But I think it's important to remember that we have a hope. And I think God's moving, and I think God will be moving within that community, because there can be such hopelessness and despair.
Right.
I think some of those people are going to be turning to God, and they're looking for answers. And we want to be ready when that change happens, when people come out of this and they start asking the church and Christians for help. We want to be ready for that.
Well, we've been visiting with Jeff Johnston. He's an issues analyst for Focus on the Family, and covers topics like homosexuality and gender, equipping Christians to engage the culture. And Jeff, very much appreciate your time today, and want to remind the listener of some of the resources you made available. dailycitizen.focusonthefamily.com. Let me say that one more time. dailycitizen.focusonthefamily.com. And of course, you can always go to family.org. If you navigate around that website, you're going to find plenty of resources available there. Through the tabs at the top of that page as well. But Jeff, welcome again onto ABQ Connect. Great information. We appreciate your transparency, your opportunity to share the resources that Focus on the Family has been made, that they've made available, and would welcome having you back on the show another time. I hope you'll take that invitation and let us know when you've got something to share with our audience.
Hey, thanks, Steve. That would be great to talk to you again down the road. Thanks a lot.
All right. And want to thank our engineer, Jared, for helping us out, getting us on the air. And Devin at Focus on the Family for putting this together. An email from him is what prompted me to connect with Jeff. And again, thanks to Focus on the Family, Jeff, Devin, Jared, and you, the listener, for taking the time to listen and then use the resources made available to you to make a difference for the kingdom. Stay with us. More making a difference is educating those young ones through homeschool. So many parents now choosing to do that. And there's a convention just around the corner we want to let you know about, along with the organization that's putting it on. We'll get to it with Cape New Mexico right after the break on ABQ Connect.
KLYT. This is ABQ Connect. There's still time to join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE.
Okay, we're in studio with a crew of ladies that are involved with Cape, New Mexico. And if you're not familiar with CAPE, we're going to take some time to let you know about Christian Association of Parent Educators, New Mexico. I don't want to get through this segment without mentioning the homeschool convention. That is actually a little ways away, June 23rd and 24th.
Next Friday, Saturday.
Next Friday and Saturday.
And Thursday is our Getting Started workshop.
Yeah, and remember that Thursday night is a free event to attend. And I think, was it Sunday night or Friday night?
That's the showcase. So the workshop for people who are interested in finding out what does homeschooling mean in New Mexico, that is from 6:30 to 8:30 at Legacy Church, Office Central. That is free, and you can just show up that night. But then the next night is what you're thinking about, and that's the showcase to show off
what
some homeschoolers can do.
That's going to be a lot of fun. And the details about the convention are at cape-nm.org. Right at the top of the page, you'll see events and convention. Just scroll over that, and you'll see the convention main page link. Click on that. Now, with that, it took me a while to get to introductions. Selena Blake joins us. She's a homeschooling parent who we've already heard from. Aaron DeKino is a recording coordinator for Cape New Mexico. And you do all kinds of stuff. I mean, when I started hearing, you kind of get into everything with Cape New Mexico, it sounds like.
Yes, I'm a volunteer extraordinaire.
No. Oh, very good. And Dominique Jones is here. Dominique's been on with us before when David Jones was in studio, the social media coordinator. But we were discussing changing her title to maybe Doyen of Social Media.
That sounds good, but you should keep my last name. It's Wingard.
Yep. Okay.
That'd be very surprising to Emily.
Wingert. My apologies. But Dominique, I was thinking David Jones being in the studio. I'm old. All right. So, ladies, let's talk to parents who are considering options for education for whatever reason. Maybe they're seeing some of the laws being passed in New Mexico and they're just saying, you know what? I don't need, we do need to act on that, regardless, I know if I'm homeschooling my kids that some of these things we're seeing passed in the roundhouse aren't going to affect them as much, being that I will be in complete, even if kids are in school, I catch myself saying stuff, be in complete control of your kids' education. If you have kids in public school, parents, you should be involved in your kids' education. However, we're talking about homeschooling, and let me start with Selena. How long have you been a homeschooling mom?
23 years.
All right, and you have how many kids have gone through homeschooling?
I have two children. One graduated. One about to graduate. We're down the home stretch.
And what drew you to homeschooling? There's a story there.
True. I was working for public schools and a private Christian school. And at the time that I was at a private Christian school, somebody was breaking off at the end of the year when I was doing something different. And he was going to go off and start a homeschool group. And I'm like, what does that mean? You're doing a homeschool group. And so that was probably my first experience that was noted that I was exposed to some kind of homeschooling. But I was not married. I didn't have any children. But I knew I wanted to do something different other than public school or private school. And then I prayed about it once I did have children, and I really felt the Lord drawing me in, and I just felt obedient to doing that for my own children.
Now, do you remember any kind of reservations you might have had at the time as you headed into it?
Absolutely. Even though I worked in education, I wasn't sure how to do it successfully on my own. But we're all ingrained, if we were raised in the public schools, we're ingrained in what school looks like. And I did pattern that at the beginning, and then learned how to just to change and adapt to our own family. And that was one of the things I was very thankful for, because I struggled in school with some learning things that I didn't know that I had. And I saw them in my children and I thought, how do I help them? And I was so thankful that I could. So my children didn't grow up with the same mindset that I had in my own self, because I struggled so hard. They didn't have to have that same thing attached to them because they had to keep it a secret. There was no secret. I could still get help. And we're still working through that. But your children don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be perfect, but you are the perfect teacher for your child.
Yeah, agreed. The Bible makes it clear what we're called to.
While we rise up, while we walk along the way, or we're lying down.
That's right. So Aaron Dequino, and as I mentioned, Aaron is the recording coordinator. What does that mean for Cape New Mexico? Are you the audio gal?
Yes, I am the audio gal. I make sure that all of the sessions during the convention get recorded. I make sure they're up on the website, and I deal with a lot of technical issues.
Which, thank you for doing that, because already, for those who aren't familiar with Cape New Mexico and maybe for the first time went to Cape NM or cape-nm.org, and on the homeschool or the convention website, they're finding video and audio from past conventions that are resources that are available today. Which, now listen, you're encouraged to attend the convention. That's the best way to engage, the best way to consume the information that's available. However, if for some reason you cannot, there will be resources available to you after the convention, and you can thank Aaron for the work she does with that. And Aaron, one of the other things, when we were talking about the list of things that you've done with CAPE, you organized a couple of things like CAPE at the Capitol and the Women's Retreat. Is that what I heard?
It's actually a family retreat
that
happens every fall, the Fall Family Retreat. And it's a chance for homeschool families to go. We go to southern New Mexico and just have a really relaxing weekend where we get encouraged by a speaker and we have time to get to know other homeschool families and enjoy the mountains and kind of recharge.
Sounds like you're on Capitan Tree in that area?
A little bit, yeah. Sacramento Camp and Conference Center.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Kind of 30 minutes away from Cloudcroft.
Beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Looking down on Alamogordo. I got you.
Yes.
I'm dialed in now. Okay. And then Cape of the Capitol. We've talked a little bit about that. For those unfamiliar about this trip with the families and kids to the Capitol, what a great education opportunity. This is not just for homeschoolers. I mean, you know, hopefully the public schools and private schools are doing the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. Every February we have a trip that we take down to Santa Fe, up to Santa Fe, I guess, from Albuquerque. And it's just a chance for homeschoolers to get to meet their representatives and their senators and realize that the roundhouse is our house and that we actually have an impact. And, you know, a lot of times our representatives have never met homeschoolers. So they have a very strange idea of what a homeschooler is. They think we're all in matching denim and there's, you know, 15 kids in the family. And sometimes that's true.
Yeah, I'll tell you, the Rymans as a homeschool family, we stood out.
Yeah.
we did. I had a bunch of extroverts and we even had to, the homeschool group kind of had to get used to us too.
Yeah.
Great opportunity to connect with our legislator. And before we go to a break, your homeschooling past, what drew you to homeschooling?
Oh, I was really negative towards homeschooling. The only homeschoolers I knew growing up were the kids who got kicked out of school.
Okay.
Because they were fighting.
Uh-huh.
And so when my youngest was getting to be about school age, we lived in a failing neighborhood for APS schools. And so we had someone visit one day and he said, oh, we have this great program. Your kid will be in class from 7 a.m. until 5 p.m. every day. And I talked about it with my husband and I said, I just can't imagine sending a 5-year-old off to do that.
Right.
And, you know, it's God's timing. But right after that, I met with a friend who I didn't really know had homeschooled. And she said, you know, you can do this. You can do it however you want. It's about taking control of your kid's education.
Uh-huh.
And God will help you. And it was amazing. I just started meeting homeschoolers everywhere. So 16 years later, we're still at it and have two graduates and three more kids coming up. So we're really excited to see what God does in that journey.
Yeah. And, you know, the journey doesn't end after graduation.
No.
You know, I mean, especially my kids that aren't married yet because they're not as busy. Some of my best friends I hang out with, but what you've shown your kids about education, you're going to appreciate that. I think when God willing, they have kids and you see that going to the next generation, the involvement and not just surrendering education for our kids, whether it's, you know, reading, writing, arithmetic, or the things of the Lord. We take control of that and we spend the time and invest. It's an eternal investment, and it's so good to hear families that are doing that. Well, the Cape New Mexico Homeschool Convention is just around the corner. We mentioned it at the top of this segment. It's June 23rd and 24th. We're going to come back with more details about the convention and how you can be a part of it, whether as an attendee or roll up your sleeves. We've got some work for you to do as well. That's coming up after the break on ABQ Connect.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect. There's still time to join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE. ABQ Connect.
All right, we have a little less than 5 minutes, but I want to make sure that the listener knows, since we're visiting with representatives or participants in CAPE New Mexico, that is Christian Association of Parent Educators. The website is cape-nm.org, and they're preparing for the Cape New Mexico Homeschool Convention. That's coming up in just a few days. And remind me the date.
It is the 23rd and the 24th.
The 23rd and 20th. There we go. I moved to a different webpage. June 23rd and 24th at Legacy Church on Central. That's way out on West Central, 7201 Central Avenue Northwest. And now, have all three of you been part of and at a Cape New Mexico Homeschool Convention?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Selena, the person who's never been, what can they expect in those 2 days?
Well, they will be able to find a table. I will be at is the Cape table where they may have questions about homeschooling, about what they should do that day. Should they attend a workshop? Should they skip a workshop and go shopping so that they can prepare for the school year? Yes and yes. We will have a list of classes, workshops, and their descriptions. And they will be able to see, was that something that interests me? Will that be applicable for what I need? And will I be able to squeak in that shopping? There will be lots of opportunity to get free prizes as well over in the area that you can shop. And, you know, I guess if you're hesitant to come, I will say the theme for this year is Hebrews 2:13. I will put my trust in him. Mm-hmm. So if there's anything that's holding you back and you're not sure whether you should come, there will be quite a number of people there that are beginners and quite a number that are veterans, and we're all there for you. So don't hesitate to come because it'll be a lot of fun. You'll get fellowship, tears, laughs, lots of kids. It'll be great.
So I have to ask, who among you is the recruiter? Who needs to recruit volunteers?
Oh, we all need recruiting.
Yeah, that would probably be me then here. Okay.
So Dominique, who I introduced as the social media coordinator. Yes. Dominique, what's needed? There's a need even now. Yes. For this convention for parents to step. So especially if you're a homeschooler.
Yeah.
And you're planning to attend, can you attend and volunteer?
Yes.
Yes, that's mm-hmm. what we're all doing.
Okay.
So there's always that. I think coming in this year and asking those questions so you can see how you can do little baby steps throughout the year, because the convention's the big event, right? And so there's a lot going on. We've been planning this out for since April. So there's been a lot going into this. And so we're coming around the corner. It's next week. Next Thursday is the free Getting Started workshop. So we're very pumped up for that. Come be a part of it. I'll be at the outreach table in the middle of the lobby. You can come ask questions about how to just kind of get your baby steps in and see, well, how can I give back?
Okay, let's make sure with the time we have left. Okay, yeah. Someone's listening. Like, okay, I'll volunteer. How?
Yes.
Tear down.
You can help tear down afterwards.
But what do they need to connect with someone at CAPE now?
Yes. So okay. Is the email info or is it board?
The email is info.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. Info at CAPE-NM.org. That's the most efficient way to get a hold of anybody.
Okay. So if you want to volunteer, maybe your name, and a good contact besides your email, but shoot that email to info@cape-nm.org. Lots of volunteers needed. Remember the free Thursday night. If nothing else, if you've never homeschooled and you're just trying to figure it out, get to that free Thursday night event. And that starts, I think, at 6:30 at Legacy Church.
6:30, right. And if you're absolutely lost, like, that's a lot to do. I mean, we're on social media. So just send us a DM there. We'll get you connected with the email and the right person that you're looking for. It's all good. We're all growing together.
Okay. And you'll find the information you're looking for sure at cape-nm.org. As you can hear, we're up against the end of the show. Ladies, thank you so much. Enjoy the convention.
Thank you.
And I hope the kids do as well. I'm sure they will.
Oh, yeah.
They got a big kids program and everything.
All right. Thanks for joining us on ABQ Connect. Join us tomorrow. We'll have information about ABQ God's Talent Show, the season 5 coming real soon. And an update from John Moore Associates with Brian Cochran tomorrow on ABQ Connect.
ABQ Connect is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KLYT.